give him praise.
Give him praise, church. I just want to stay in this attitude of worship for just a couple more seconds. I want us just to continue just to focus in. Because what you just experienced, or should have experienced, is a realignment of a priority in your life. You come into the house, you start praise and worship, you take the natural into the supernatural, and now you're feeling the presence of the power of the living God. You made God first on the throne of your life. Now, for some of us, maybe that was the first time this whole week. But I know this, when you come into the house and you raise your hands in praise and worship, it is an act of surrender. You're saying, God, I'm going to make you the king of my life. I'm going to make you first today. He may have not been first for a while, church, but let me tell you something. When you come into the house and you watch online and you're in praise and worship, we were in praise and worship last night for several hours at the concert downtown. And it's a shift of priorities. I can tell you that as we were praise and worshiping last night, and I know several of us here were up there, Ryan and my wife and I and many of you and our family, we were watching Phil Wickham, a whole bunch of Christian artists, you know, and I can tell you, we were so focused in on worship that God was just first. We weren't thinking about anything else. It was the priority. He was the priority. Church, we need a realignment of those priorities. Let's just settle in right now. We'll go to the throne of the living God and we'll pray. God, realign my priorities today. Father, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord God, as I have been praying, I pray that you realign my priorities. Continue, Lord God, to be first in my life. Continue to be first in everyone here at Cross Point, both here on site and online, Lord God, that we continue to make you first. That the priority in our lives is you. Because your scripture teaches us if we have you first, everything else comes into what is divine order. Lord God, I want divine order more than ever in my life. And I pray, Lord God, that divine order sets you first, because your scripture teaches us that everything will flow in your provision once we make you first, always. So Lord God, today in Cross Point Church, tonight and tomorrow, throughout this week, I pray, Lord God, we stay in this attitude, making you first. I pray, Lord God, that the priorities today for all of us get realigned. As we speak your word, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, as you're seated, look at somebody and say, God's going to reorder my priorities today. Today's my day.
Well, good. No, I'm actually on Pastor Nicole's mic, so just forgot my mic. So hopefully I sound a lot better. Is that how it works? I don't know. Depending. Is that what? Yeah. Let me just beautiful. Say, folks, you know, God, I know my giftings and I know my not giftings, and God has not gifted me in leading worship. I am a worshiper, and I hope you are too, but leading worship's a different story in that way, but I just want to welcome you. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors, along with my wife, who is a worship leader and who has a beautiful voice, so I will not try to do that, but thank you so much for being here. Welcome online. We are so blessed, and we're honored that you're joining us online, and we always love to see where you're joining us from. We always like to see that in the thread. If you're joining us on our Facebook page, on our online campus, our platform that we use for our online campus, we have great ways to connect in that way. But if this is your first time here at Cross Point, we want to just bless you. We want to say thank you. We want to connect with you and make sure that you are loved. And one of the easiest ways, if you're in the house, you will see right in front of you on the pew, that's the seat that's just in front of you, there's a QR code. It's a simple, easy, straightforward. It's super quick. You just open up your camera phone. It'll connect with a digital connect text, and you can just connect with us, communicate with us. We can text back and forth, answer any questions you might have, and we just want to make sure that we do that. It's super easy. It's super quick, and it's just a really great way to do that. And if you're in the house and you do that, and if this is your first time, we would love to bless you with a gift. You just take that to our VIP center, our resource center right here out in the foyer in the lobby, and they're going to give you, just show them that little text thread that you're proceeding with, and they're going to bless you with a little gift box. We just made some things very simple to honor, to bless, and to love you in that way. So we're just excited for you to be here. I also want to give an update on ways to give. We are a church who believes in bringing into the storehouse our tithes and our offerings, and there's different ways that we have set that up. You can give online. You can give on our website. It's a really simple, easy way, and that's just cpoint.church, and you'll see a link there. You can download the Church Center app. There's an app for that, right? We use the Church Center app. It's a great, fantastic way of connecting, communicating, as well as if you have kids that you want to check in your kids to all of our childcare, you can give through our Church Center app as well. It's very easy. And if you're old school, I think Pastor Nicole always says that she's old school, and that's okay because I am too a little bit. There's also giving stations right here in the back. There's also, we have created a little bit of just these little cards, just an instruction card. So if you are sometimes like me, a bit ADD, and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other, and so you don't remember anything that I just said as far as the instructions, we have got that covered for you. Those are located right at our VIP center. Grab those at the Welcome Center. You can pick those up. A couple things that are happening this week. Well, we don't have, how many have been here for our first Wednesdays? Now we've done two. We've done two first Wednesdays. Can I just say, what a blessing. There were people at the altars this past, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, at our second first Wednesday for October, and people didn't want to leave. We were in the midst of His Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just comes in power, and the sweet, sweet presence of His Holy Spirit was here. So I would encourage you, continue to participate. But this week, we have just our normal Wednesday night services, which is just our journey night small groups. So they all start at 7 p.m. Cafe will be open, so if you want to come and get a cup of coffee before you head to your small group, they just have our pump coffee and all of that. It's not a full-service cafe, but we want to make sure that you are one of the ways that we walk with people in finding, knowing God is right now, we find freedom through our small groups, through the intimate relationships with one another around a table, right? The relational value of that. So our small groups will be happening this week. And then I started this morning in our new rotation. It just happens every week. 9 o'clock is growth track. And so this morning was week one. But if you feel like, oh man, I forgot about that, I need to get a part of that. Growth track is just a 4-week course. Come on in next week, hop in. And all we do is we look at who Crosspoint is, who you are in Christ, and the giftings and the talents that God has equipped you with and has blessed you within your personality and spiritual gifts. And then how can we connect with this church and walking out what God has enabled us and given us? And ultimately, if you want to become a member, that is our membership class. So Growth Track is a great way to get to know who Crosspoint is, get to know yourself, and to ultimately get plugged in and to do our dream team as well. A couple of upcoming things that we have. Wednesday, November 5th is our first Wednesday. So I would encourage you, again, as I was talking, don't miss first Wednesday. Don't miss first Wednesday. God is, I think, pouring out His anointing upon that. And it's been a blessing, and we're excited for that. So Wednesday, November 5th. And then November 30th, for all you parents out there with youth, Youth Reach Conference is coming up. If you have any questions, see our youth leaders, both Noah and LG Abel, and they will point you in the right direction, and they'll give you all the info. So Parents of Youth Reach Conference is our annual youth conference, kind of a gathering for all the state of Ohio, for all the youth in the state of Ohio. So it's a powerful and impactful time our brand new district youth director. He's going to be speaking, and I think it's going to be a blast. So again, parents, if you have any questions, see both LG and Noah for that. Church, that's all I got. If I forgot anything, check out our Facebook, check out our bulletin, all of our social media, our website as well, and ask Pastor Brad if I missed anything too. So love you, church. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. I don't know what I'm going to be able to tell them outside of what you already told them, right? I am absolutely wore out. I tell you, I've been in praise and worship last night for 3 hours, and this old body can't handle 3 hours of that kind of praise and worship. Not that we don't have good praise and worship here on Sunday mornings, but I realized how sore I was when we started praise and worship this morning from praise and worship from last night. Now, there were thousands and thousands of people downtown Canton last night. Phil Wickham and all these top-name Christian artists were this downtown, and the lady that wrote and sings I Speak Jesus, my favorite song, and others were there. And I tell you what, when she got into I Speak Jesus, your pastor was in an attitude of worship. If you went to that concert last night, wave at me a little bit. Yeah, there's all kinds. It was a good, good night. If you see that happening again, folks, if you ever see those types of artists and the gospel music and whatnot come to town, I encourage you to, you know, sign up. We should have probably announced it. I'm not sure if we ever did that. We probably should have, because it was just a great night. I don't know, 5,000 people or so worshiping the name of Jesus. And then he had a salvation call, and he even said, Phil Wickham said, well, I bet you lots of you here are already saved, but we're going to have a salvation call. And there were just, you know, he said, if you want Jesus, you want to, you know, there's so many people. He said, turn on your phone, the light on your phone, because there's so many people, and wave it at me. And what do we see? Lights all over the arena. Jesus showed up last night, just like Jesus is showing up today. I just welcome you to Cross Point Church this morning. Worship was great this morning. Thank you to our worship team. Church, give them your praise, because they worked very hard to bring you into an attitude of worship. Thank you so much for joining online, on the YouTube, on cpoint.church, the Facebook page, and the podcast that we put out throughout the week. And, you know, you can get the daily devotional on the Church Center app to follow along each week. We put out a devotion each week on the message on every Sunday morning. No matter who is speaking the message, there will be a devotion out there. You can follow along today, church, in my message on the Church Center app by clicking on the sermon notes. I try my best to stay on task, but the Holy Spirit takes me off of that sometimes. But you can follow along and keep an eye on what's going on my message, and go back. More importantly, you get to go back throughout the week and look at some things that you just can't remember. You can take notes, of course, but you can go back, because we take the notes for you, right? Guess what? We are so many weeks away from Thanksgiving, so many weeks away from Christmas, right? My wife tells me that Christmas tree is going up in 2 weeks. That is not the priority, right? It's not a priority, right? And then she gives me the word that I have to start working on the outside of the house to start putting up the decorations on the outside of the house. When I grew up, folks, I remember that those kind of things, the tree and all that, would go up after Thanksgiving. Somebody with me, right? Somebody's right. You know, see, then many years ago, I got married. And then I realized the lady I married, before I married her, was a Christmas fanatic, right? Yes, amen, right? So now, come this time of the year, Pastor's house turns into a winter wonderland, and it's getting earlier and earlier every single year, right? I do love it, though, folks. Hey, we are in a series called Inside Out. Inside Out. We are examining a lot of things. And last week we talked about your identity, right? Last week it answered the question, who are you? Who am I? That's your identity. And we threw the word truth in there. We talked about truth, and we'll talk about that here in a second in our review. Today We're going to answer the question of what do I seek? Who am I? And now what am I after? Priorities is what today. Next week, we're going to answer the question of how we live all this out. And then the last week, we're going to talk about what others see in us. Right? What others see. So just a quick review for last week. We talked about who you are, your identity, what is real in your life, what you say your truth is. And we talked about that. That truth shapes your identity and determines how you live. So I introduced to you two truths last week. Worldly truth, right? Which is called relative truth, how the world defines truth. The world defines truth a lot by feelings and trends, emotion. That becomes truth. But I also talked to you last week about absolute truth, which is God's truth, which the Bible says is immutable, which means unchangeable. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter about anything that goes on. It doesn't shift. It stays the same generation after generation after generation. That truth is the very essence of what something is and not just how it appears, feels, or functions. God's truth doesn't change with the current culture. It gives us stability in a world shifting of opinions and then anchors our identity and secures our eternity. And that answered the question of who I am. So today we're going to answer the question of what am I seeking? What am I seeking, right? So if identity is what's on the outside, what's on the inside, your priorities answers the question of what you're seeking on the outside, right? That's just kind of how it works. So we're going to dive right in and start talking about this word called priority. Now, you right away think in your mind what priority means. You're already formulating this opinion of priority. Now, I'm going to talk to you here about priority, that definition, but I'm going to show you what God says priority is. What he says it is. And there is the absolute truth as opposed to what we may think it is on the worldly side, the relative side. So priority is something treated more important than anything else, right? In the Latin, that word priority means precedence. Means it takes precedent. It's above everything else. Priority. Now, the word priorities means you could have a bunch of priorities, right? Things that you value, they got tremendous value to you. But when you look at those things, one thing kind of surfaces, right? It does. You know, if you had to take away all your priorities in your life and you had to leave yourself with just one, what would that be? Pastor, are you talking about like my career and my stuff? I'm just talking about anything, right? We're going to talk about that today. So let's jump in. So a priority isn't just something you value. It's something we place above everything else. Priorities are the visible proof of what your heart values the most. See, there's this old saying that says, show me your priorities and I'll show you who your God is. You show me your priorities and I can tell you who your Lord is, because that's what you value, right? Priorities shape your thoughts, determine your decisions, claims your devotion. It just reveals your lordship. Priority is what you do first. And who you trust the most. What you do first and who you trust the most. And you can see that in people all the time. Now let me give you an example. So a bunch of us went to the Christian concert last night. But our drummer of the worship team went to a different concert last night. There's those priorities, right? I'm just teasing. Brother Tim, Reverend Tim, right? Bad example, but you know I'm kidding. But yeah, it's priorities, right? It's all about priorities. Today, endless options exist for priorities. I mean, there are priorities ever. Money is a priority. Comfort's a priority. Validation is a priority. Success is a priority. The list is long, church. And people live in those priorities every single day. Now, I'm not saying that your careers and jobs and all, I'm not saying that those aren't bad priorities. But if that priority takes precedence over everything else and is number one, which we're going to learn about first today, then if it's different than what the Bible talks about the first should be, you are in the wrong priority. And we're going to talk about that here. So Scripture teaches us about priorities. So let's jump right into talking about the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus's big manifesto, right? This is his big preaching moment, right? He's going to start teaching us all kinds of things. He talks about money. He talks about all these things. And he puts it all together to this crowd, this audience, all first century Jews, for the most part, right? Under Roman occupation, lots of people there. And here's the kind of people. They were really poor. They were really overtaxed. They were living on the edge, right? They were in what I call survival mode. Many of you maybe know that, right? Or maybe you've been there sometime in your life, or maybe you're there today. Now, I'll tell you what. I'll agree. We're overtaxed, right? Wow. Overtaxed. They were overtaxed. They couldn't do anything about it, right? They were stuck with it, just like we are, right? Poor, destitute. This guy shows up and starts teaching them something that's different than what they heard before, right? They're kind of in this mode where they're day-to-day wondering where their food's going to come from, the money's going to come from, the situation for the next day. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, and we're just kind of hunkered down into trying to figure out the next day, if I'm giving you some type of summation, right? Back then, this thing of material ownership of things was kind of a big deal. Right? It was. They kind of felt like the more material things you had, the more stability or divine favor you had. I talk like you have much, you've got a blessing. If you have little, you're kind of forgot about. It's kind of how they felt. And so they're focused on not maybe acquiring more materialistic things, but getting to the next day and building and growing and trying to. And this guy shows up and starts teaching something completely different. And that's where we're at today, right? His message was very radical. So he's telling people, don't store treasures up on earth. You should be storing them up in heaven. And they're like, I don't know, money. I'm trying to just get to the day. You know, you can see the thought process going on. He makes this comment early. He says, you can't serve God and money. You know the scripture there, right? He's teaching you can't do both. We've kind of beat that to death, haven't we? You can't serve both God and money. These people are just trying to get by and get some more money in their families and try to help. And they're just, and then a lot of it go out to the taxes. And but he makes this declaration. It's kind of, he says, don't worry about your life. And that's all they were doing was worrying about their lives. Just like us. And this guy shows up saying, I'm going to teach you this new set of priorities. I don't want you to worry about all this stuff. I don't even want you to worry about your life because I'm here to change the order of your priorities. That's exactly what he does. Jesus shows up. It starts preaching a change of priority and trying to get this message across to people that this is going to be different. Let's jump to Matthew 6:33, church. Jesus realigns priorities when he says, listen, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, the context, keep in mind, is they're always trying to get by till the next day. And he shows up and says, first seek the kingdom of God in all its righteousness. Then all these things will be added. What things? All the things that they need. And then some. That's a radical transformation. Church, that's a radical change of priority. Seek kingdom, heaven, first. Let me sum it up to you. This is what he's really saying. Stop chasing what the world chases. Start prioritizing what heaven values. That's what he's saying. And tell me that's not a message for today. Stop chasing what the world values. Stop doing that. Stop prioritizing what the world says is important. Just come and prioritize what heaven values, right? Heaven is more important than what you're chasing. Chasing food, money for the next day, clothing. And here this guy shows up and says, let's go this direction. That is a priority shift, church. And you can just see the people's faces. Because for the most part, he's talking to the poor. And I want to just go over a couple words that he uses in that scripture and talk to you about them. He uses the word seek. First seek, right? He uses seek first. Seek. In the Greek, that means I want you to continually to strive to the kingdom. That's what it means. An ongoing priority of striving for kingdom things as opposed to earthly things. Continually strive. He uses the word first. In the Greek, first means first in priority, but not first necessarily in just talking about a sequence. See, we're like predisposed on planet Earth to think first means there's a second and a third. First place, first trophy, you name it, it's a first, right? And if you put the first, you always have a second, third, fourth, and fifth place. And sometimes people take the second place and they get the first place, right? He's starting to draw the lines, the boundaries. He's talking about first in your priority. Not just the first in a sequence. Not like, do this first, and then you could move on. Like, he's saying, don't just select me now today because you're hurting, you're poor, you need some money, you need some clothes, you need to get by. You don't come into a church service and say, if I could just get this, then I get it first, and then I could move on to second, third, and fourth. He's telling them, that's not what I want you to do. He's teaching them, there is no second. He's teaching them, I am the first, I am the second, I am the third, I am the fourth, I am the fifth. And if you put me first, the second, third, fourth, and fifth, whatever, shows up because I am first. I am the sequence. He's the sequence, right? He talks about kingdom. In the Greek, kingdom means God's kingdom. God's authority is exactly what it means. God's authority. He talks about righteousness. In the Greek, it means right alignment and standing in relationship with heaven. Priority. Righteousness is referring to a right standing of authority with heaven. Your priority is first with heaven. And how you're related and how you're connected and what's your standing with heaven. Is heaven first or is heaven fifth? All wrapped up in the Greek in that one scripture. So what is he really saying on the practical? Here's what he says. Should be on the screen behind me. He says, keep continually prioritizing God's rule and his way of life. And everything else will fall into order. Jesus is teaching a theology of trust and order. He is not promising luxury. He's promising provision through priority, alignment. Bringing into order. That's what he's saying. keep continually prioritizing God's rule and his way of life. So here's the biblical concept that he's teaching everybody. Priorities leads to provision. They're thinking, I've got to figure out how to get something for the next day. Jesus shows up and says, I'm going to teach you your priorities need realigned. If they're realigned, the next day takes care of itself. Why? Because priorities lead to provision. And that's what he's teaching them. That's what we're going to teach today. Your priorities will lead to provision. Now, let me give you a quick little example. You know, there's this movement going on. It's been out there for a long time called the prosperity gospel, the theology of prosperity, which says you got to give something to get something. That's what it means. It's all over TV. It's all over podcasts. It's, you know, there are preachers that preach this, and they've been preaching this for years. You got to give it to get it. You got to write the check to me to get God's provision and his blessing. Right? You know that it's the theology of prosperity. It's out there, been out there. Preachers are making all kinds of money, flying around the world, Gulfstream jets, you know, right? Now listen, if you want your pastor to fly around in a Gulfstream jet, right? I mean, I guess that's what you can do, right? God told you, right? I'm afraid to fly, to be honest. I'm not a big flyer. I have to fly, but I'm not real fond of flying. Jesus shows up and introduces kingdom theology. Kingdom theology, which says if you prioritize, that's how you receive. That's the introduction to a group of people struggling to survive. Think about that. Prioritize to survive. Prioritize what? Me, is what he's saying. Listen, church, the kingdom of God doesn't follow your priorities. See, your priorities must follow the kingdom. When our inner world identity is ordered around his kingdom, your outer world comes into divine order. Divine order is a priority alignment. Divine order is a priority realignment. Now you're thinking, what did I do this past week? Where are my priorities? Students would be, their priorities would be, I got to get good grades. If I don't get the good grades in college, I don't get maybe some scholarship money, or mom and dad won't write the check, or I have to work hard, whatever, right? Nothing wrong with that priority. That's a value priority, right? I would argue that if Jesus is at the first, the rest of that would take care of itself. I would say that if Jesus is first in your priority, then everything else just follows. And that's what Jesus is teaching. What does that mean? That is called the biblical principle of preeminence. Preeminence. What does that mean? That means God is not second. Preeminence is God is not second. Jump into Galatians 1, 17 through 18. Paul writing to the church in Colossae, the Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. Now, he wasn't necessarily gone there, right? You probably know he didn't like physically go there. Well, I think he's writing this from prison, what, in Rome, right? He's writing this because there's a lot of people that are just really confused about their priorities. They're grabbing on to some of the stuff that he's teaching and had taught some of his disciples. They're grabbing on some of the old stuff. They're grabbing on some of this new age stuff. They're just kind of all mixing it up in this big melting pot. Now, what do we do? What is our priority here? So he pens a letter. He says, and he is before all things. We'll get to it in a second. And in him, Jesus, is things that are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. In the Greek, that means he may be in first place, is what that means. It also means he may be in the highest rank that you can consider. He is the top. So he pens the letter to this confusion of all priorities. He says, listen, he is preeminent. He is the first. So all the other things you're thinking, you're trying to prioritize here, this city, this church, this thing, we're starting this movement, you can throw all those things out because he is it. And if you would just get the concept of this priority down, that he is the beginning, you will learn later that he is also the ending. Because there's no second place, third place, fourth place. The Bible says he's the beginning and the ending, right? And there's the introduction. He's trying to get people to understand this concept of preeminence. Jesus does not compete for position in your life. He commands it. He's not going to compete, right? So this preeminence goes like this. If Jesus is not first in your priorities, he won't be first in your provision. You can't go to heaven, church, and say, help me, help me, help me with all this stuff if Jesus is not first. You can't expect God to respond, heaven to respond, if Jesus isn't number one in your life. Right? It's tough. James, Jesus' half-brother, addressed what I call priority disorder. Half-brother of Jesus, he's writing to persecuted Jewish Christians that were just scattered all over the place across the Roman Empire, right? James is writing about spiritual consistency under trial, under tribulation, prioritizing your life and your walk with Christ. And he says in James 1, 7 through 8, he says, listen, that person, I'll get to that in a second, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Who is that person? That person is the person who doesn't have Jesus now at the priority, at the first, at the number one, not seeking him, and thinks that they could still rely on themselves when the things are hurting. That they can allow a balance between what they think and what Jesus says and teaches. That person, like, we don't think that Jesus will come to our aid and provide the provision. That person. That we can pray, but we don't necessarily really believe it, is that person. We don't settle in to say, Pastor, I don't know, right? It's really about seeking God, but trusting yourself is what that person is. Tell me we haven't done that, right? We've done that. He uses the word there, double-minded. In the Greek, double-minded means two souls. Two souls inside of you, right? Back and forth. Who are you going to trust? Yourself or heaven? They're double souls, right? I call that a spiritual tug of war. Man, is that a tough battle. Tell me you have not been in that battle, church. Right? Two directions, two desires, two masters. It's hard. What you're really battling with inside of you, church, is priorities. What's on the inside that comes on the outside is the battle of priorities. You want to trust heaven, but you end up trusting yourself more. Double-minded. And he addresses that. Right? He addresses that. The thought's like this. Spiritually double-minded people may not stop believing in God. Hey, we still believe in God, right? But they mix it with some of the world too. Themselves. Satan doesn't have to make you wicked, church, to make you ineffective. He just has to make you divided on the inside. If you're divided on the inside, he's got you. If your priorities are mixed up on the inside, he doesn't have to do much more because Jesus is not first. On the inside, if he's not first, then you're not seeking him like you should on the outside because you're trusting you and Jesus and mixing it all together. That's what they were doing in Colossae. Bunch of mixes, right? That's why it says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If your priorities are not with Jesus first and you're relying on you, you're already losing the battle. And Jesus shows up to start teaching this thing about priorities. Now, let's talk about something that is a priority. So I wanted to have this really big example that I could really give you in the scripture. And I wasn't going to give a whole list of priorities. I'm trying to get you to think about priorities in your life, right? And so I'm praying, God, give me an example. And, you know, it keeps coming back to the tithe. Now, I'm not going to talk about money, but I'm going to talk about priorities. And I continue to study, and it's like the clearest example in God's word about priority, arrangement, and alignment. I said, okay, God, I don't want to talk about money, but let's talk about the priority of the tithe, right? The priority of the tithe. It's more than money. But see, we're so predisposed to tithe and money that we're missing the core piece of it that God introduces way before the law shows up in the Old Testament. It's a priority that he's talking about. And I'm going to show you that here in a second. So there's a story in God's word about Abraham, right? Story. So there's Abram, his nephew is Lot. How many remember that, right? So the scripture, I'm just going to paraphrase the story. There's this fight, right? And Abram has to go rescue Lot from this regional war that's going on, okay? You can go back and do all that study later, but I just want to give you the context of there's a fight. Lot gets captured. Abram has to go in and rescue him, right? So he does. And he is successful, right? It's a stunning military victory because I believe the Bible says he had roughly, what, a little over 300 men? I know it's a little over 300. Don't quote me. 318, 348, somewhere in that range. He didn't have many people. He's going up against armies. But I'm going to go in and rescue my nephew, and he is successful. It's stunning military victory. It's a big deal, right? He really goes in the battle with few people and comes out successful. Not only did he come out successful, he came out with lots of money. Immense wealth, the scripture teaches us. He had money, he had goods, and he had prisoners. Is what the story is. Go back, study it, big war, right? So he's got some stuff, church. He's got some stuff. He's coming home with his nephew, a bunch of money, all kinds of goods, material things. He's probably got Mercedes-Benz in there, some BMWs, whatever, right? He's got stuff, right? He's got a couple Corvettes. Right, probably has a couple of semi, got convoy of hope to show up to deliver all the stuff back to, right? He's bringing it home. I'm trying to get you to understand, it's a lot, okay? He's got lots of stuff. As he heads home, two kings start to come out to meet him. Two kings. One of those kings is representing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The other king is representing the world's corrupt system. Two kings. Now here comes out, you can see it, right? This is going to be a couple of you people this coming week. You're going to be come into all this wealth and, you know, and your pastor's going to be showing up to meet you. right? Yeah. But they had these two kings showing up. He's coming down with his entourage, his nephew most likely on his side, right? And all these prisoners and all this wealth and these two kings. What are these two kings? Kings coming out to meet him. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which later is Israel, later Jerusalem in Israel, right? Representing God. He's coming. God's messenger, the king, is coming, right? Bera, the king of Sodom, representing the world system's corruption and compromise, is coming. To meet the guy that just won the battle. It's a theological crossroad here. Because what's he going to do? They're looking for a blessing. They're looking for a blessing, right? Abram is faced with a decision of priorities. Who gets the blessing? Who gets the blessing? Now, King Melchizedek, representing the kingdom of heaven, does something here. Before Abram does a thing, he comes up and blesses Abram. He gives him a blessing. He gives a blessing. The other guy is just looking for something. But this king shows up representing heaven and blesses him before he even gets blessed back. Now, I'm paraphrasing a lot of that, but the story is powerful because it represents that God is blessing us before we do anything. See, the provision of the blessing shows up before you even make the commitment of the priority to bless God. God's got your back. And a lot of times, church, we don't see that blessing because our priority isn't focused on him being the first. So we don't see it. We don't realize that God was in the middle of the whole thing, or, you know, Jesus is taking care of this whole thing, and we don't even see it. What a crossroad. We're all there, right? Two kingdoms meeting one man. Watch what it says in Genesis 14, 19 through 20. It says, blessed by God, Melchizedek blesses him. He has defeated your enemies for you, Abram. Abram gives Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he just recovered. Church, this is 400 years before the old law showed up with tithing. Why? He's not teaching tithing. He's teaching priority. Tithing shows up after God teaches priorities. But it's really the first recorded scripture of the act of tithing. Why? Because it's a tenth that was given. The priority was set. We're going to bless back God with a tenth. God already blessed me, but I'm going to bless him back with a tenth. You can give your tenth because God already blessed you with the money and the provision in the first place. I don't care what the dollar amount is because the dollar amount doesn't mean a thing. It's about the priority in your head to put Jesus first. And it shows up 400 years before the old law of tithing even comes into play. See, the tithe didn't start as a command. It started as a confession. God, you are my first priority. The first carries divine ownership and is holy. The first portion represents the entire whole. When the first is set as a priority and given to God, the rest is blessed. Why? Because priority leads to provision. And that is why, church, the enemy fights you and I so hard on tithing. Because it is really about you saying, my priority is Jesus first. Not necessarily about money and funding the kingdom. It's all about that, but it's always has been the priority in our lives of first provision. I'm going to do the first, the alignment, the divine order. 400 years before tithing even comes on to play in the Old Testament, God's created the divine order of the tithe, and he started by a priority. Ends up with a going into the Old Testament about tithing and giving in all those scriptures about tithing. You're going to give a tenth to redeem the other 90%. It all starts with a priority, and it all started with who's first in your life. Okay? See, in God's economy, divine priority always precedes blessing. Always. Watch what happens then in Malachi, 1,600 years later, connecting tithing with priority. Malachi 3:10, scriptures we've read before, now you're going to read it differently today because of priority. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you don't have room enough to handle it. He says, test me on this. What does that mean? It means test my priority, is exactly what that means. Test my priority. Are you first? And then it says, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. That is the provision coming from my priority. See, it was the best example I could give today. It's not a tithing message. It's all about priority. Test my priorities. If you're sitting here today and you are a great tither to the kingdom of heaven, to your local church, you get it. If you're sitting here today or you're watching online and you're not doing that, now you're getting it, I think. It's about priority. Who sits first in your life? If you're not doing the priority like the scripture speaks to us of, your priority is the car in your driveway. Your priority is the house you live in. It's your priority, it's your family over the kingdom of heaven, Jesus. Your priority is your job. Your priority is something you wear. Your priority is something other than the kingdom. Because if you're not sowing into the kingdom, you are sowing into self. And Jesus introduced years ago, many years ago, this is the priority. And if you set it up like this in divine order, I will always take care of you. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. But listen, church, God isn't promising extra income. He's promising your priority will deliver an uninterrupted access to your provision. His provision. Now, if you're not doing the priority like he sets it up, you have had an interruption of godly provision in your life. And now you understand why things are a little different than they should be. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to go through trials and tribulations because the Bible says it. You're gonna. But your divine order has been set by the priority in your life that Jesus is always first no matter what happens to you. So therefore, you have an uninterrupted divine order. Your priority is set. Paul didn't care what happened to him. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. Multiple times. And guess what he still did? He said, my priority is the same. It's not changed. No matter what happens. It's a wonderful example. Why? Because divine priorities release divine overflow into our lives. Malachi 3:10 says, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Provision, divine provision. Matthew 6:33, and all these things shall be added unto you, the scripture says. All these things will be added unto you. What things, Pastor? All things. All things will be added. It's powerful. How do you get a message like that across on a Sunday morning? Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The people were poor, destitute, and starving, and all things. I'll give you health and well-being. I'll take care of you. I'll do everything for you. You need nothing else. And I use this morning this tithe because that's the beginning of the priority. the abundance of the blessing. So I got a couple questions for us today, church, as we wrap up. What priority in your life is out of order? What priority? Is Jesus the first? See, priority is not what you always love first. It's what you seek first. You can love all kinds of things, value all kinds of things, but the number one thing that you seek is the priority in your life. Another question. Have you let lesser things take first place? If God is first, everything else should be second. If God is not first, everything else that is supposed to be second is first. And therefore, the outpouring of the blessing, the uninterrupted provision, is interrupted. Not by anything God did, by everything that we did. Ever hear the saying, your priorities are out of line? I just preached on your priorities being in line. From the inside out. So let me tell you something, church. It all starts, though, with a confession. The priority of the confession is this. Jesus is going to be first in my life. I am going to give you the opportunity this morning to realign supernaturally all the priorities in your life and make Jesus first. That is establishing or reestablishing divine order in your life. It's reestablishing if you're recommitting, or if it's the first time you've accepted Christ as Savior, it's establishing the divine order of priority in your life. Priority. Jesus is first. Jesus is first. Salvation is not only repentance of our sins, church, but the realignment of priorities in our lives. And that always starts with Jesus first. So I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, bow your heads. And if there is somebody here in our worship center, or if you're watching online today, I'm just going to ask, if you want to place Jesus Christ first for the first time, or if you want to reestablish Jesus Christ first in your life because he's not been first, all you have to do is slip up your hand. I'm just going to pray corporately for you today. Thank you for those hands down front. Thank you for the hands in the back. Hands throughout the worship center. If that is you, wave your hand so your pastor can pray with you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to pray. Anybody else? Several hands. Is there anybody? Hallelujah, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you. The hands were raised today to reorder the divine order in their life. That they have said yes to Jesus. That they're going to place you at the center, first in their life. Lord God, for each and every one of those hands, I pray, Father God, right now, that you will divinely reorder their lives. That they are now placing you first with no second, third, or fourth behind you. It's not a sequential order. It's just you. God, I pray right now that you do exactly what you taught us in Scripture today, that you will pour out your divine blessing, your provision, because they have made you first, Lord God. You never promised us that it would be easy, but you did promise that the provision would always show up. Lord God, I pray for them today. I pray, Lord God, for their commitment to make you their priority. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Amen. For those who raised their hand today, you can leave the worship center today. And you can go out into the resource center, the VIP center. We would like to give you a book. We would like to give you a book as you start your new journey with Jesus, your new priority in life with Jesus. You're seeing on the screen behind me, you could just take your phone right now and scan the QR code and get all the information from Cross Point Church to help you start your walk with Jesus. We're going to give you all kinds of resources, how-tos, things to do, because we don't want to just leave you on an island. Scan that QR code. If you're watching online from at home or anywhere, you see that QR code. You can scan the code. You can go to cpoint.church and get connected to the same resources. With the broadcast ministry being so large today, church, we're trying to find ways to connect people that accept Jesus Christ with the church so we can get resources in their hands. And all they have to do is scan the QR code. You here today, just go out and grab your book. We've got a book for you with all kinds of resources. Come back on Wednesday night, as Pastor Mike talked about, we will continue to study the things of Jesus and make him first, make him the priority in your life, on the inside and on the out. Hallelujah. Church, stand with me as we close the service today. But I'm going to ask you to recite something with your pastor, because I want to walk out of here today with conviction that everybody in the house and watching online is all in one accord. Their priorities have been realigned. You should see it on the screen behind me or on the screen in front of you. Church, repeat after your pastor, God, reorder my world from the inside out. Take your rightful place in my heart, in my schedule, in my family, in my job, and in my church. Reveal to me a new set of priorities and let me take ownership of them. Give them praise today, church. Hallelujah. Church, let's go out of the worship center today saying goodbye yesterday. Welcome, King Jesus. Hallelujah. Good.